This is Jay Barris of Sidley Austin with the Mutual Fund Minute. Today we're here with Leonard Ung, the head of the Financial Services Regulation Practice in Sidley's London office, to talk about some of the developments in the UK. Thanks for being here in New York with us today, Leonard. What are some of the key themes arising from the UK coming out of the Financial Conduct Authority, or FCA, from a regulatory perspective?
Yeah, thanks, Jay, and thanks for having me. I think it's fair to say that we're going through a time of transition in the UK in terms of our regulatory authorities. Just to explain very briefly, the UK has got something called a Twin Peaks model. So the FCA, Financial Conduct Authority, looks after conduct matters and some prudential matters for pretty much all investment firms. That'll include, you know, broker-dealers, asset managers, custodians, and so on. There's another regulator called the Prudential Regulation Authority, or PRA, and that looks after the, from a prudential perspective, the largest institutions, so the very largest investment banks and all the actual credit institutions, deposit-taking entities. From an FCA perspective, we've begun to see, I think, more regulatory engagement. We're seeing more touch points from the FCA, which is a bit unusual. So if you're a typical asset manager in the UK, historically at least, the FCA wouldn't, you know, we don't have like a program of exams that you do with the SEC in the United States. It's actually quite unusual for the FCA to come and examine you in that sense. But what the FCA has been doing is coming out with a lot more questionnaires and surveys and asking very pointed questions of firms across the board. And from there, they then pick, you know, obviously certain firms they may have concerns about and then follow up on that. And it could be any number of topics, market abuse, senior managers' conduct, and in fact, more recently, they're very focused on diversity, inclusion, and non-financial misconduct by all sorts of firms. So, you know, there's a whole series of questionnaires that have gone out now to various parts of the industry, and shows a level of engagement we haven't really seen before.
Okay, well, zooming out a little bit, what's going on in terms of the UK regulatory agenda after Brexit?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously Brexit was a sort of life-changing episode for United Kingdom. Like it or not, you know, of course, that relationship is a little bit tense, I would say, it's fair to say. But at the same time, both sides, the UK and the EU, are pretty respectful of each other's aims. I think from a UK perspective, the UK has always been a very open and dynamic economy, from a financial services standpoint, at least. So, for example, the UK has been very keen to show that its openness continues. One very good example of that will be the fact that it's just been announced by the UK government that it is going to treat all UCITS, and the UCITS is UCITS. UCITS is effectively an EU or even a UK mutual fund. It's effectively saying that EU-based mutual funds, or UCITS, can continue to sell their funds, units, and shares to UK investors, even in a post-Brexit environment. Now, the reverse is not true. It's actually very difficult for UK firms to sell products of any kind, mutual funds, alternative investment funds, even broker-dealer services, into the EU, whereas the reverse, you know, EU into the UK is actually pretty easy, and the UK is very taken that approach to show its openness.
Let's talk about the future of fund management in the UK. What does the future hold?
Well, I think continued development of what we've just said, which is, you know, the UK thinking about how it wishes to, frankly, compete with the EU and indeed to a large extent with the US going forward, right? So good example will be there's a whole bunch of financial services legislation that we inherited from the EU over the decades. But recently we've started to see a real shift from the UK and divergence from the UK. A good example, for example, would be the short selling regulation, where historically you'd have to, you know, report short positions, you'd have to disclose the names of the short position holders above a certain threshold, and the UK government has decided actually we're going to change that. So, for example, now there's not going to be a disclosure of individual short position holders. It's in fact going to be a disclosure of, if you like, short interest on an issuer level, if you like, an aggregated level. And that's hugely beneficial for, let's say, hedge funds, who otherwise are concerned about their trading strategies being disclosed. Another one would be the fact that, you know, we've had restrictions on bankers' bonuses coming out of the EU for many years, and the UK decided recently to actually change this sort of cap on bankers' bonuses. And finally, there was a big topic about unbundling of investment research coming out of MiFID II. The UK is going to change that. In fact, over the next probably month or two, we're going to get a consultation on how to relax those rules. These are all, I think, indicative of the UK saying, you know, no particular reason for us to adopt something that we inherited from the EU for the last, you know, two decades. Let's start going on our own.
Well, that last point would be of vital interest to people, to managers in the U.S., because it really had the effect of changing everything.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, the very largest U.S. managers, in fact, would sometimes bifurcate their groups so that the U.S. team would be, you know, dealing with investment research very differently from the European team, which is subject to these MiFID research unbundling rules.
One of the big issues here in the U.S. is artificial intelligence. A lot is going on from a regulatory and legislative perspective. What's the landscape in the U.K. and in the EU with respect to AI, especially when you're talking about investment management?
Yeah, sure. I think right now, you know, the EU has a new EU AI Act. It's probably the first, you know, major economy to have anything to do with AI and trying to regulate AI and its outcomes. The UK is a little bit behind there, but not far. I think it's fair to say that as far as asset management goes, you know, the way the regulator in the UK is thinking about it is to say, look, AI obviously is very important, but we're going to regulate that in the same way we regulate any new type of product or service, which is to say firms have to show us they've got very clear and thoughtful systems and processes to deal with the risks arising from AI. And indeed, they've toyed around with the idea of having a specific senior manager within the firm responsible for AI. So in the UK, we've got something called the Senior Managers and Certification Regime, which makes natural persons, so for example, the directors, or the chief executive officer, the chief compliance officer, personally responsible for things that go on within the firm and could affect the firm's safety and soundness. So AI is an example of that. If you make a senior manager responsible for the deployment of AI or use of AI within a firm, then that firm's going to think twice, obviously, before deploying it in a very reckless manner.
This is Jay Barris of Sidley Austin here in New York with Leonard Ung, head of Sidley's Financial Services Regulatory Practice from London. Thank you very much for joining us today, Leonard.
This presentation has been prepared by Sidley Austin LLP and affiliated partnerships, the firm, for informational purposes and is not legal advice. This information is not intended to create, and receipt of it does not constitute, a lawyer-client relationship. All views and opinions expressed in this presentation are our own, and you should not act upon this information without seeking advice from a lawyer licensed in your own jurisdiction. The firm is not responsible for any errors or omissions in the content of this presentation or for damages arising from the use or performance of this presentation under any circumstances. Do not send us confidential information until you speak with one of our lawyers and receive our authorization to send that information to us. Providing information to the firm will not create an attorney-client relationship in the absence of an express agreement by the firm to create such a relationship and will not prevent the firm from representing someone else in connection with the matter in question or a related matter. The firm makes no warranties, representations, or claims of any kind concerning the information presented on or through this presentation. Attorney Advertising, Sidley Austin LLP, 1 South Dearborn, Chicago, Illinois, 60603, 1-312-853-7000. Prior results do not guarantee a similar outcome.